Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Thank you to everyone who came out Friday night to the Rocky Mountain Creation Fellowship, second Friday of every month. What a great time. There were about 10 scientists with advanced degrees in physics and in microbiology and in math, in anatomy, and it was just awesome. And Sunday morning, Dr. Don DeYoung, with a PhD in physics from Iowa State and a Master's of Divinity from Grace Seminary, he spoke at Denver Bible Church, and we had a wonderful time. So I encourage you to tune in to Real Science Friday this week and next week, when we have two more scientists from the Creation Research Society. Astronomer Danny Faulkner will be on, and then also microbiologist Kevin Anderson. And what a great, great lineup we have planned even beyond that with Fred Williams and myself. So please stay tuned for that. Share the shows with others. If you think of it online, it's so easy to email a link or put a link on Facebook. Now, there is a lawsuit underway filed in federal district court in Billings, Montana. I'm looking at this federal lawsuit filed in the United States District Court, District of Montana, Billings Division. And when I get down to about section number 13, as I'm reading through this lawsuit, I find myself in shock of what the law is in Montana regarding preachers of the gospel, ministers, and others related to church office. So the plaintiff is Cal Zastro. Cal, welcome back to Bob and Yurt Live.
Revival. Great to be back.
Praise God, brother. How are you doing there up in Montana? What in the world are you doing in Montana? Cal, you've been living there for years, and I miss you. I like seeing you in Colorado, but you've been living in Montana for a long time now.
Well, our family, we moved up here middle of last September, and other than a month in China in December, we've been here helping to get the personhood amendment movement jump started and helped out here, and also street ministry here in Montana, serving Jesus,
jumping
on the devil, same old, same old.
Cal, you taught me how to go out on the street and get personhood signatures, and how that is a ministry. And you could pray with people, you could talk to them, you could share the gospel, and you end up talking to so many people. Christians, I know, we pray for an open door. You want an open door, just get a pro-life petition and go out on the street.
Amen.
Yeah, so that's all exciting. Now, you have this lawsuit going on, and could we describe to the audience what in the world the law of Montana states regarding preachers? I have it right here in front of me, but maybe you could share it with us.
Well, what happened was I was arrested while petitioning on a public sidewalk in early February here in Montana. So by the Yellowstone County deputies. And so the attorney that's representing me in that case for an unlawful arrest and an injunction against the county sheriff's department for arresting me and to prevent them, trying to prevent them from arresting me for petitioning on public sidewalks again. That's the first part of the lawsuit, is against that county. The second part, I didn't believe the attorney when he told me, but there is an 100-year-old state statute in Montana that says that a preacher, a priest, pastor or other church officer may not tell anyone how to vote for or against anyone, for or against a party ticket, or for or against a ballot question based on their religious duty.
This is absolutely shocking?
Well, the most shocking part to me, Bob, is not that a civil government has
usurped this kind of
passed that law.
Right.
The shocking thing is that it's been there 100 years, and there have been nobody to get up and smash that idol in the name of Jesus.
Wow.
So I'm helping him.
Wow. Well, Cal, I'd like to read this. This is the Montana statute 13-35-218, section 2. And here it is, and it is stunning. No person who is a minister, preacher, priest, or other church officer, or who is an officer of any corporation or organization, religious or otherwise, may, other than by public speech or print, urge, persuade, or command any voter to vote or refrain from voting for or against any candidate, political party ticket, or ballot issue submitted to the people because of his religious duty or the interest of any corporation, church, or other organization. This is a shocking infringement on the God-given right to free speech.
Well, it's from hell. It's the clergy censorship statute, and obedience to that is rebellion against God. And so, therefore, I disobey that statute every single day, many times here in the state of Montana, while I'm obeying God and telling people to stand up for Jesus and sign my petition and to vote against abortion. Hallelujah.
Amen. Cal Zastro. So, Cal, as a Christian minister, and you are a minister in good standing with the Assemblies of God, you're licensed by the Executive Presbytery of the General Council of the Assemblies of God, so you are a minister. This says no person who is a minister can urge or persuade any voter to vote or not vote for any ballot issue? Are you kidding me?
No ballot issue?
No politician? When you have politicians who say, we support the killing of children in the womb, then of course every Christian leader is obligated to warn people that this person is advocating the slaughter of the innocent, and God sees that when you shed innocent blood, you're guilty if you don't stand up against it. If it's happening in your community, God says, and you don't speak against it, you're guilty.
Well, in Montana, for 100 years, they have silenced the clergy, but yet public school teachers, politicians, and pipe fitters, they can tell people how to vote. But if you're a Christian minister, a priest, or the church secretary, you can't tell anybody how to vote. So
you can't urge
Montana
them.
Montana has... Pardon?
You can't urge them, it says, and you can't persuade them.
Right, and you can't mention religious duty regarding voting. 90
right.
days in the county jail if you tell somebody or urge them what their religious duty is about voting. 90 days.
Now, Cal, there's a pretty neat book I read a long time ago, Pilgrim's Progress, which was the best-selling book for centuries next to the Bible. And it was written by a Christian minister who was thrown in jail because he violated a statute sort of like this. He was preaching without the government's approval.
Right.
John Bunyan.
He needed a license.
Yeah. And that's happened in this country also, hasn't it?
Right. My Roman Catholic friends invited me to speak at their religious liberty rally last Friday here in Billings, Montana.
Yeah.
So what I did is I went through the Martin Niemöller quote about how they first came for the communists, and he didn't speak up because he was the communists and the trade unionists and the Jews and the Catholics, and he didn't speak up. And finally, when they came for him, there's nobody left to speak up.
Yeah.
So I went through a litany of American persecution of people because of their religious views, not because of their actions, but because of their religious views. So I went through that and talked about now it's, you know, now the tyranny is trying to force private hospitals, Roman Catholic ones, force them to kill babies by murder. And so it's time to speak out against that tyranny.
Well, absolutely so. And is it true that in American history, Wasn't there a Christian preacher who was punished because he was preaching without a license way back
I
when?
I don't know his name. Well, there's multiple ones, including James Ireland was the one who wrote extensively about in Colonial Virginia. But I don't know his name.
Hmm.
But I know it happened in Culpeper, Virginia, because Patrick Henry wrote about it. When he wrote it, this is before he was active in politics, when he rode his horse into Culpeper, Virginia, he saw a man being whipped who eventually died from that whipping and inquired to what was the cause of this, what was the crime, the charge. He said he was preaching without a license. He was one of those Baptists. Hallelujah for the Baptists. So that's kind of what motivated him to make sure that there would be religious liberty in this country.
Wow.
Seeing that happen.
Wow. What a great tragedy. So could you tell us the particulars of your arrest? Cal, of course, not everyone in our audience knows you, Cal Zastro, but I've known you for years, and you are the picture of a man of God to me and my family. Your family, the way you've raised your children to honor the Lord and serve the Lord, your kids have gone with you on missionary trips, not only all over this country, but to China a number of times. I'm not sure if any of your kids are in China right now. I think one might be.
Yeah, my oldest, she's an 18-year-old. She's teaching at an underground illegal Christian school with the underground churches in China,
wow,
helping them with discipling their children. She's doing that right now. Wow. Hallelujah.
Amen. What a family you have. So, Cal, you are a man who stands up for the Lord. You stand on principle. And so to hear that you were arrested, you know, some people listening might think, what was he doing, DUI or something? But but I know that the story has to be one of a good testimony to the Lord by a servant of the Lord's. So what actually happened when you got arrested?
Well, it was in Billings, Montana, and they have like a county fairgrounds and a bunch of buildings where they have small conventions, big conventions, in a big arena called the Metro Park. It's like anybody's local fairgrounds or a city or county-owned convention center, okay?
Hmm.
So if it's built with public funds, that means the sidewalks outside of it have to be open to the public.
Hmm.
Okay, so that's kind of the situation. Well, what happened is 2 years ago we came here for 2.5 months and participated in the petition drive for CI-102 at that time, the personhood amendment, and the security people at the Metro grounds would constantly give us grief and try and throw us off from petitioning on the public sidewalks around the arena and the convention center.
And Cal, this is
and
routine,
they gave us fit.
Right? This kind of intimidation does happen. Christians go out for whatever purpose, even to evangelize, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, to hand out Bibles, or pro-lifers go out, then there are some municipalities where they will attempt to intimidate illegally, but they'll say, you cannot be here, you need a permit to be here. And a lot of Christians don't know, and they leave disappointed. But others, I think of Ken and Joe Scott, yourself, and
hallelujah,
the Reverend Flip Benham, and actually I could probably name about 200 Christians who have known enough to say, hey, I have the God-given right to free speech. This is public property. I have the right to be here. And usually when these cases go to court, when they do, we usually win.
Yes. Sometimes not in municipal court, because quite often in municipal court, it's a good old boy network where the police, the prosecutor, and the city judge all play golf and go to church together and
they're brother-in-laws
or whatever.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, something. So, anyways, they came and told me I couldn't on the first Saturday in February 4th, 2012. The officials from the Metro said I couldn't be petitioning on the public sidewalk, and they said it was private because it was leased out to a private corporation. You know, they were having a convention in the convention hall.
Yeah.
And those people leased it. And I said, that's great. I'm glad you do that. I'm glad the county can make money that way and use their buildings. But the sidewalks outside are open to the public, and they're public. And so therefore, where the public goes, free speech goes. And in the First Amendment of the Constitution, it recognizes our and guarantees our God-given rights to freedom of speech, religion, press, and the right to petition. Mm. It's in there with free speech and free religion.
Isn't that
so
great?
He didn't want to hear about that. So I had my children with me, so I went and took the children home, and then I came back and brought a couple of witnesses to see if they'd back off or not. So I stood right next to a pole, so I wasn't blocking a sidewalk or anything. I was standing next to it. It's kind of a light pole there.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a natural obstruction, and so I began petitioning. And so three sheriff's deputies came up and told me to leave. And I said, well, I'm going to petition. And they said, well, they've got a free speech zone on the end of the building where you couldn't see the people well coming or going.
Right, and that's typical.
I'm not going to a protest zone.
Yeah, right. That's typical of intimidation. They'll say, like, you go to the Olympics in Salt Lake City, and they'll say, well, we have a free speech zone, and it's off in a field enclosed by a fence, and there's nobody within 1,000 yards of you. So you could hand
I'm
out
laughing
flyers.
At that
it's typical.
So anyway, so I respectfully challenged them. I said, well, I don't mean any disrespect for you officers, you deputies here, but I do have the God-given right to freedom of speech, religion, press, and petition. And so I'm doing three of them right now, speech, religion, and petitioning. I'm doing three of them, so I'm going to continue. So they asked me, do you want to go to jail? I said, no, I do not want to go to jail. I want you to leave me alone. If you're getting complaints, okay, this is a misdemeanor. Even if I was breaking the law, it would be a misdemeanor offense. You cannot arrest anyone on a misdemeanor charge without witnessing it yourself. So if you want to stay there and watch me for a while, you're more than welcome to, because I don't argue with people. If people stop and talk to me, I talk to them. But if they don't agree, they tell me where to go and how to get there, and they move on. And then I ask the next person coming.
Yeah.
Oh, they didn't have time for that. So they just arrested me and took me to jail, charged me with trespassing on a public sidewalk.
Trespassing on a public sidewalk. Go ahead,
Yeah,
Cal.
How can you do that?
I'd like to read the First Amendment to the United States Constitution, because we think about freedom of speech and freedom of religion, but here's what it says. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. In other words, they can't say you have to be a Lutheran or you have to be a Presbyterian. They can't say that. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, an official state religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. So not even the U.S. Congress could pass a law and abridge your right to petition the government. So you're on public property, and literally, you're petitioning.
Right. I was asking folks two questions. Hi, folks, Montana voters. They say yes. I say, hey, you want to sign a pro-life petition? That's it.
Hey, Cal, do you recall in Michigan where there's, in certain areas, heavy Muslim populations, Christians have gone out to distribute Bibles in Arabic, just New Testaments in Arabic, and they have been arrested? We've done shows on that persecution of Christians. And
yeah,
out...
I'm familiar with that. That's a Dearborn, Michigan. That is the second worst police force I've ever seen in America, is Dearborn, Michigan.
Wow. On a public sidewalk, Christians going out saying we're handing out New Testaments. This is, you know, leafleting, free speech. This is legal.
Mm-hmm.
And they were arrested within minutes of showing up.
Well, I'm familiar with Dearborn because they also have a surgical abortion mill there, and they're very, very hostile to the peaceful pro-life Christians that minister outside of that abortion clinic.
Mm.
And also there have been Sharia law honor killings where family members have murdered their daughters who suspect them of being worldly or immoral that have not been investigated by the Dearborn police. So that's just a nasty place.
Wow. You said Dearborn is the second worst.
Second worst, yeah.
What's the worst?
Jackson, Mississippi. question about it.
Jackson, Mississippi. We've been there. One of our Focus on the Strategy DVDs, I believe, ends with a clip from in front of the Jackson, Mississippi abortion clinic.
When we petitioned in Mississippi a couple of years ago, our family moved there and lived there for a year to help them get on the ballot.
Yeah.
The leadership asked me not to get arrested because they felt that that would interfere with the campaign message for the petition drive. Then the front page of the newspapers, instead of abortions murdering babies, it's outside agitator with a Wisconsin accent getting arrested for troublemaking.
Right.
They just said don't get arrested. But I could have been arrested 9 times just for petitioning on the public sidewalk in various cities in Mississippi.
Little Rock, Arkansas, when Bill Clinton's presidential library opened, I went there with a few friends, Cal. I think about 30 of us went there for a week. And we had we had the time of our lives, I got to tell you. But when Bill Clinton was coming down Main Street, and we had so many opportunities to confront him, and thousands, in fact, the entire state knew we were there, and we were bringing attention to the fact that Bill Clinton raped one of his campaign workers, Juanita Broderick. And the entire state, their 50,000-watt clear channel radio station, their TV news, their newsprint, everybody knew, so much so that the state historian contacted us and asked us for our literature to include it in the official state record of the opening of the Clinton Library.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah, praise the Lord, right? When you're out in the street, you have the opportunity to speak and to do things and open doors.
Right.
Usually doors don't open when you're on your couch watching TV. But if you want open doors, you go out where people are. And you serve
That's
the Lord.
Right.
And so, Cal, they had a law there where if you have more than 10 people on a street corner, you need a permit. So what we did was we went every other block, and we'd have 2 people on each corner. So we had 8 people on each corner. We covered more blocks, and it was great. And so Bill Clinton is getting ready to come down the street with Hillary and some presidents and maybe a king or two. And the cops come up to me and say, you got to leave, you got to leave. I said, well, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. We're on 4 different corners. We're fine. They said, you're getting arrested right now. So that was fine. So they arrested me, took me about 8 blocks away and released me. They have a catch and release program there in Little Rock. But, of course, it's illegal. And, of course, it's typical, right? This is what will be done to a Christian who's trying to stand up. Like John the Baptist, he was not only arrested, but then he was killed because he was pointing out that the king was an adulterer. So, Cal, you were arrested, and there's actually 2 lawsuits underway?
Yes.
Is that right?
One is we're seeking a federal injunction against Yellowstone County, preventing them from arresting me anymore while I'm petitioning on public sidewalks. So that's the first injunction we're seeking. The second injunction is against the state of Montana for applying or threatening to apply their anti-clergy, their censorship statute. And also when people go vote, like last Tuesday, we had the primary elections here in Montana, and that law is posted on a big warning poster, like an old Wild West wanted poster. It's posted in every polling place across Montana. It's, look out, make sure there's no street preacher or church secretary or Roman Catholic priest that tells you how you vote.
So,
look out, they're criminals.
So in other words,
that's posted in every polling
place.
So
in other words,
so we've got an injunction saying, take that statute out of the warning posters and don't threaten to use that anymore because of how wicked it is.
Wow. So in other words, this is not just a very bad 100-year-old law that has been forgotten, but every election cycle, it's dusted off and used to intimidate Christians, Christian leaders, and then to make it worse, as you've pointed out, for 100 years, Christians have not challenged this corrupt law.
And what is the fruit of that, I ask? 5 surgical abortuaries all across Montana.
5?
Casinos, pot houses, drunkenness, immorality, fornication, persecution of Christians, and sin having its way. Montana has never known a major move of God, a revival. an outpouring of the Holy Ghost in a powerful way like they've had in New England during colonial times, or the South, or the Midwest, or other parts of the world.
Yeah, Southern Montana's California.
Never had it.
Right. Wow.
And it's time for it right now.
It is, Cal. Thank you for having the testimony that you do, for not only living the gospel out on the street, but with your family. Cal, Cheryl and I and our boys, we've got 7 boys between us, and we have so many godly men and women around us that our kids have many role models to look up to. But every time the Zastros are in town, we go out of our way to make sure that our kids, if possible, could spend time with your kids to see you and your wife and how you guys love the Lord and love one another. You're a testimony to us, role models to us, and I want to thank you for that.
Well, thanks, Bob. I'm not worthy of that. It's all the Lord. But I'll give you a good encouragement. You'll remember our son, David.
Yeah.
In Montana, you don't have to be a voter to circulate the petitions here, but you have to be a resident. Well, we've been here since September, so we're residents. My wife and I registered to vote. But my 16-year-old son, David, he went petitioning with us last Saturday at the Strawberry Festival downtown Billings,
yeah,
where they closed down the streets to vehicular traffic, and they put up vendors and booths and sell T-shirts and strawberries and everything else, and everybody in the county comes to the festival, right? Well, my son, 16-year-old son, he chooses to petition and to street preach right in front of the Planned Parenthood booth at the festival. So he's got his Bible in one hand preaching it, and his cardboard clipboards in the other, getting lots of signatures.
Oh,
it was
wow.
Exciting.
David Zastro, what a hero. Hey, Cal, thank you. Hey, how can people keep in touch with you? What's the best way to contact you if they want to support you?
They can contact us through MontanaProLifeCoalition.org.
Okay, and we're out of town. We're out of time. MontanaProLifeCoalition.org. God bless you, Cal.